Let us pray. Father, we thank you that on this Thursday night, 2,000 years, Lord, after you walked among your people, you are here. You are with us, showing us the same love that you poured out on your disciples in the upper room. By your grace, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come among your people. Open our hearts that we might receive your love, that we might receive your foot washing mercy. We pray in your name, Jesus our King. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good evening. Good to see you guys on this Thursday night. When you want to communicate something really important, something really, really important, words usually just aren't enough. And I appreciate the irony of that as a person who's standing up to say lots of words to you about something important. But we all know it's true. If I want to show my wife that I love her, if I want her to know that I love her, I've got to show her. If I tell her every day, but I don't demonstrate it, if I don't give her time, affection, if I don't give her love, demonstrations of love, she won't know that I love her. And if we need demonstrations to communicate, we also need demonstrations to teach. I want my children to know that I love them too, but I also want to teach them how to love. I want to teach them how to love. And if I just say, Elijah, Gideon, love people, it's not going to happen, is it? They might learn to say the words, I love you, but they won't learn to love. They need a demonstration. They need me to show them how. Friends, tonight, we have come for a demonstration. We have come to see a mighty demonstration that the Lord has given us, one to understand and one to follow with our own lives. We've come together to look into the eyes of Jesus, to look into the eyes of our Lord as he bows before us to wash our unworthy feet, to show us, to demonstrate his love for us, and to teach us how to love each other. That's why we're here. That's why we've gathered this Thursday night. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. We come to remember and to understand this strange and beautiful act. And we don't just want to learn more about Jesus' love tonight. We have come to receive it ourselves. We have come to submit to it so that we can go out and do likewise as he commands. Reenacting God's saving work, living it, demonstrating it, has a great tradition. We read about the first Passover feast, and we know that the people of Israel, the Jews, have been celebrating and reenacting this meal over and over again every year for thousands of years now. They relive this meal. They relive the night of their delivery from Egypt so that they will always remember God's saving acts for them. They relive the meal year after year to make it personal, that they know that it's for them too, not just those who lived so long ago. And so that knowing that they might go out and live as God's people. Here for us, this Holy Week is much the same idea. We re-enter the final week of Jesus' life, of his disciples' time with him, to remember, to receive, that we may also live out the truths that he demonstrated there. From Palm Sunday, as we shouted glad hosannas at the coming of Jesus following the donkey up to the front doors of the church, and then watched those cries of hosanna turn to crucify him. And then tomorrow, of course, we will keep the stations of the cross here together and bow in incredible sorrow with tears as we think of our Savior's death. And then the silence of Holy Saturday will give way on Sunday to the glorious resurrection and the unspeakable good news of the reality that our God lives, that he rules and reigns in all the world. But tonight is Maundy Thursday. That's a curious name, and if you're not familiar with the Anglican tradition, you may not know what it means. So I must explain that before I go on. Maundy comes from mandate. Mandate being the new command that Jesus gives his followers in the passage that we read, John's Gospel. He tells them to love one another as I have loved you, as he has loved them. And this command to love each other the way he loves us sort of sums up the entirety of the teaching that he gives. So we return to the scene. Jesus has gathered his disciples in an upper room in Jerusalem. It's time for the Passover celebration, so Jerusalem is crowded with people. People who've heard about Jesus' ministry for a long time now, a few years that it's been going on, and they're excited. They know all about his coming into the city with everybody going out to celebrate it, and they wonder, what's he going to do? Who is he really? At the same time, the religious leaders' plot to kill him is well underway. He's only hours away from death, and he knows. These are the final moments of calm before the storm breaks on Jesus and his followers. In the upper room, we find a time that is very intimate and very intentional. Jesus has prepared it carefully. He will teach his final lessons, this upper room discourse, this great teaching, with words, but also through two powerful demonstrations of his love. We have the institution of the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, which is a transformation, an extension, a completion of the Passover meal. But that's not in our reading tonight, so we're not gonna stop there. We're going to go to the other demonstration that came next, the washing of the disciples' feet. These demonstrations would ultimately, the Passover supper that recalled the great salvation that God had poured out on his people so long ago through the blood of the Lamb, that they might go out and be free and be his people, recalled and framed the Eucharistic meal and the washing of the feet. These two things pointed to an even greater demonstration that would follow the next day. You see, to cut to the chase, when Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he was showing them an advanced picture of the cross. Why did he do this? The disciples didn't understand what was happening. The dying Savior, the crucified King, was too different than the conquering King that they thought they were following. It was too terrible to look at. It would seem like failure to them when it happened, and so they would run and hide. But after the fact, looking back on this act, this washing of their feet, they would begin to understand that this is the kind of King our Jesus is. This is the kind of victory that he would win. Washing of their feet was a picture of the cross that they would have to look back to see. A picture of Jesus humbling himself to purify them. Humbling himself to purify them even in their sin. When we stop and look at Jesus washing his disciples' feet, at first maybe we were just seeing him wash the face of some random bearded guys, but focus in. And we see Peter, who Jesus knew would deny him immediately after. We see Jesus washing the feet of Judas, who was at that very moment preparing to walk out the door and betray him to those who would murder him. Jesus washed their feet. He humbles himself to purify the feet of his friends who would betray and collude to murder him. His washing their feet points to the cross. The main action in the gospel passage that we read is Jesus' conversation with Peter, who stops Jesus from washing his feet and says, "No, Lord, don't wash my feet." Jesus says, "You don't understand now, but you will afterwards. After I die, this will mean something to you." He says, "If I don't wash you, you have no share with me." And then we begin to understand that he's not just talking about the washing of feet with water, but the washing of a person in his blood. And that's even clearer when he tells Peter, "You're clean already because of the word that I've spoken to you." So this washing of the feet points to Jesus' washing of his followers in his blood, just as the Eucharist. Jesus showed his disciples, and he's showing us in a powerful demonstration what God's love is like. And we need help too The disciples couldn't understand it until after the fact, but the truth is, on Good Friday, as we look to the cross to try to understand our Savior's love, it's a lot to take in, the brutality of it. To look at Jesus washing his disciples' feet, even in their sin, prepares the way for us to understand, helps us understand what Jesus' love is like and that it's meant for us. It shows us how to live in light of the cross as well. If the foot washing is a symbol of the cross that points to the cross, it also shows us what the substance of Jesus' new commandment will be. He's showing us how to love each other. The commandment to love is not new. He says this is a new commandment, but in Leviticus, Moses had given the law through God, love one another, love thy neighbor as thyself. So this isn't a new commandment. But when Jesus says, love as I have loved you, do it like this, like this foot washing. Do it like this. That's a new commandment. And so we see that this act that Jesus was doing to them, this washing of the feet, it wasn't just something to understand. It was something for them to receive and then to emulate, to go and live out. Like Israel freed from bondage to be God's people through the Passover, all those whose feet were washed, all those who had been washed in the blood of the Lamb, become the people of God, sent out to be his witnesses. And this kind of love, this foot-washing love, this crucified love for each other is what that new community should look like. This kind of love is what should define his followers, what should define us. So with the disciples, this foot-washing shows us in an intimate, tangible way how we are loved, and what our lives should be like. They should look like this foot washing. As I prayed before this time, I prepared my sermon, and then I asked God, what should I say? The simple word that I heard from him was, to his people, this is for you, so go and do likewise. This is for you, so go and do likewise. See, the thing about foot washing is that it's awfully intimate. It's very personal, isn't it? So much so that most of us are going to be super uncomfortable in a few minutes when we start to kneel over these basins. It's a little too much, it feels. But that's okay, because that intimacy drives home the point of this demonstration that Jesus gave his followers and that he gives to us. As he's washing their feet one at a time, we understand, this is for you. This is for you. It's for the whole world, but it's for you. This is for you. So go and do likewise. The go and do likewise part, if we start there, can be a bit of a stumbling block, can it? Can trip us up. If we begin with, okay, what do I need to do, Jesus? You got a new commandment for me? Great. What is it? Go and do likewise? I feel like the rich young ruler. I come to Jesus and I feel like I'm doing pretty well. I feel pretty good about myself. And I say, hey, Jesus, what else do you need me to do? I'm pretty close to the kingdom, aren't I? And he says, love like this. Love like this. And boom. I realize that all my righteousness is filthy rags. I am not keeping his command to love the body like he loves me, like he loves us. If I'm totally honest, my greatest acts of service, the most selfless things I do, usually end up just being food for my ego, things that I congratulate myself about and tend to exaggerate when I talk about them. Love the body? You want me to love the body, Jesus? Do I even know the body? Our tendency is neglect, not hate. And then I look to Jesus. I set my eyes on Jesus, and I picture him. I see him washing his disciples' feet. Jesus, like this? You want me to love like this? And then I remember again whose feet he's washing, those who would abandon him and betray. And my shame grows even deeper. Lord, I can't. But then he works his way past Peter, and Judas, and I realize he's right here. He's washing my feet. It's my turn. And I realize I need to sit here for a while. This is what I came here for, this moment. As my Savior bows and I look to him, washing my unworthy feet, I see the cross. I see his blood. And I find out what his love is like, what his love is really like. I'm like Peter, even with my mixed motives in wanting him to wash my feet, Jesus comes and he says, "You're clean, my servant, you're clean." He makes me clean. He takes my shame away and he replaces it with humility. When we meet Jesus, we find him washing our feet and we look into his eyes, we learn humility. We can't clean ourselves. He would stoop to do this for us. We learn gratitude. It wells up in us. And through this humility and this gratitude that we've learned from his love for us, a new power to love one another comes. So if we're ever going to keep his commandment to love each other, the commandment he's given us, we've got to begin here, looking into his eyes as he bows before us to wash our feet on the eve of his death. We are unified only through the broken body of Christ, but we are unified through the broken body of Christ. We are able, by his life in us, to love each other for his sake. And in the light of the cross that this foot washing pictures, our demands that we make on each other, our injuries that we nurse and complain to ourselves about that we've experienced from others in the body, we see them clearly for the first time, how small they are, and we learn to forgive. Every other attempt at loving each other in this way will backfire. Our most heroic efforts to love each other on our own terms will end up just giving us another reason to glorify ourselves. But when we begin to look into Jesus' eyes, into this powerful demonstration, understand this is what his love is like, and this is the love that he intends for us to give to each other, we're on the cusp of being the people that he's made us already by his atoning blood. We're on the cusp of revealing his love to the world. It's this love for each other that proclaims, this is what our Lord is like. This is how he loves. And it's for you too, lost, hurting person. If you're tired of apathy, of fear, of self-defense and striving to be first, there is a remedy here. And thank God I've received it. It is Jesus Christ, his love for me. Come and receive it and find the grace to share it with others. Now, the wonderful news is that I can't educate you into loving like Jesus. I can't give you enough facts about him, enough information about what went on in the upper room. I can't guilt you into it. The only thing that can make you or me love like Jesus is an encounter with him, an encounter with his love. And again, that's what we're here for tonight. Though it can happen anywhere, and it does, this is a special space that we've set apart to meet with Jesus and understand this is love. And it's for me. It's for you. So tonight, we will reenact Jesus' teaching. We will wash each other's feet. We'll do it to remember. We'll do it to be reminded in a powerful way that though we weren't there, this act is also ours to receive, and so is the cross that it pointed to. And at the end of the service, a little bit more in the way of explanation, you will see us clear this whole area out. And this is a further dramatic rendering, a showing of the darkness and suffering and sadness that followed. of his betrayal, his arrest, that led to his crucifixion. So a few instructions on the foot washing as we begin. It's not mandatory. You don't have to do it. If you want to sit in silence and pray, that's good too. But understand that this is a time of submitting to God's grace. A time to see his love, not just as an abstract concept to talk about and understand, but in the form of a visible, tangible sign. And having seen that love, to emulate it, to try it on. It's like a parent saying, hey, child, do it like this. Let me show you. And then the child taking their turn to give it a try. That's what we're doing tonight. We're looking to Jesus as our example, to his demonstration, and then we're going to try it on. So first, I'm going to invite you to pray and to ask the Lord to show you the places where you have failed in his command to love the body, to love one another as he's loved you. And I'm going to want you to take a little time to do that, not in shame and guilt, but in light of his love for you, to explore those specific places, those relationships in the body where he would draw your attention. And then I'm going to ask you to submit those places to Jesus and all the fear and shame that they conjure up. And then as your feet are washed, let it be to you as if the person washing your feet, that brother or sister, was Christ, because they are his representative. They are his hands. They are his body. And know that it's Christ through them washing your feet, even in your sin, even in all the things that he's shown you. And know that you're clean and beloved anyway. As you wash the feet of someone else, do it as unto Christ. Let it be an act of response and gratitude for his loving mercy to you. Tonight, let us love each other as a response to God's love for us. And let me just say lastly, if you can't feel all the stuff I just said, if that doesn't come naturally, that's okay. This is practice. We're putting this on. We're trying it on. We're learning together. Every day is an opportunity for this lesson. Tonight's just a very evocative, a very specific and memorable opportunity to be reminded of his love and to step in the way of it. It's a pattern. So let's let this memorable thing go with us as we leave, so that tomorrow and the next day and the next day, the question might rise up in us, how am I supposed to love? Like this. How am I loved? Like this. Like this. This is for you. It's for me. We're just going to sit in silence for a minute, and I'm going to ask you to do that, to begin to ask the Lord to show you, to direct you to those places where you need to see his love for you, where he's calling you to love others. I'll pray in a minute. Lord, we confess that we have not loved another with your kind of love. Lord, we remain eager for our own advancement, for honor and applause. Our best efforts at loving others humbly, of becoming servants, end up becoming food to feed our egos. We need to be washed, Lord. Show us our need. And we confess, Lord, that we don't really want you to wash us. We want to wash ourselves so we won't have to face our shame, our selfishness. But Lord, we know that won't work. So we ask you to come, as you did for Peter, and wash our feet again. Lord, if we know you, we're clean already because of your work in us. Come and wash our feet. Come and show us once again that you have made us clean. Come and show us once again what your love is like. Give us hearts of gratitude, of mercy, of humility. That we might know how to love. That we might go out in peace. And find that by your love in us, we are indeed able to love others with your kind of love. All to your glory. Teach us this, even as we perform these acts of remembrance tonight, this foot washing. Come and fill this space with your Spirit. Allow us to carry this with us, Lord, to carry this with us as we go out as a witness to your great love. Amen.